Welcome and thank you for clicking on the Harmonic Concordance blogcast, your source for inspired interviews that explore the edges of consciousness and the role of spirit in our transformative times. Now here's your host, Johnny Marie Hiel.
Hello, and thank you for joining us on this episode of the Harmonic Concordance blogcast. My name is Johnny Marie Hiel. Today I'm very pleased to have the opportunity to speak with and introduce our audience to Jan Lundquist. Jan is my sacred other, my wife and partner. She also is co-editor, along with me, for this Concordance blog. So let me introduce Jan Lundquist. Hi, honey.
Thank you, Johnny. It's so great to be here.
So let's begin there at the back end, so to speak, and ask you, how did you come to be the co-editor of the Harmonic Concordance blog?
It was a dark and stormy night. In all seriousness, that's such a large question. I am a writer, an editor, an educator, as you mentioned. I am the editor for the Harmonic Concordance blog. What I like most is to do story editing to help new writers learn how to craft a narrative. I grew up in Mississippi, spent my early years on a farm, one of those kids who was barefoot all summer long. I also had a love of reading from an early age. So I came out of that childhood with a love of nature and a strong tendency to be an autodidact, even though I didn't know then that an autodidact is someone who takes responsibility for teaching themselves. I think in some ways I was always ahead of the curve. I left high school a year early, went off to college, graduated from college and started a master's program in public administration. I had a fascinating long career. Before I finished my public administration program, I was hired by the Navy to be a logistics engineer for a new program they were bringing in. The program was introducing computers to Navy maintenance technicians. And the fellow who hired me basically said, computers are a passing fad. I don't want to be bothered with this. You deal with it. I spent a couple of years doing that, decided I needed to be studying something more computer-oriented. I started another master's program in systems management at USC. Before I finished that, I was hired by the Air Force to go to work as a consultant at Wright-Patterson. The years that I spent working for the Department of Defense, computers went from closet size to desk size to desktop size. By the time that last transition happened, I was back in San Diego and I had finally managed to complete a master's degree, this time in business administration. I spent the rest of my career speaking, writing, and teaching about new technology. I helped many organizations introduce computers to their workers. The field now is known as change management. It didn't have a name back then, but that's what we were doing. By the end of all of that, I had acquired another master's degree in education and a PhD in higher education. Although, to be quite truthful, that PhD was never finished. I was supposed to be writing my dissertation, and that was part of the reason I had moved back to Southern California before I met the Bronx astrologer who changed my life. I never did get back to that dissertation, but I have always known that what we do together is higher education in the truest sense of the word.
What a beautiful way to say that. I love it. I know some of your Mississippi background. I'd like the folks to hear that, too.
Mississippi was a trip. Best place in the world to be from. In our little rural community, the focal point of our lives were the activities in our churches. All of us have our roots in childhood, and we have fond memories of those days. I wouldn't trade being a farm child for anything. It was an enlightening way to live, to see the difference between black and white. It was in our faces every day. I was part of the first generation of Mississippians to go through school integration. I remember my fellow classmates cheering when Kennedy was shot. I'm ashamed to say that, and I hope that they are ashamed of themselves now. It wasn't until I was traveling in Europe as a graduate student that I began to see that the world wasn't just black and white. I had the great good fortune to have a group of American Indian AIM members. Remember the American Indian movement of the early 70s, who were traveling with us at that time. That group was led by Russell Means and Dennis Wilson, who were on a mission to educate the world to the plight of the American Indian. I don't know if they succeeded, but they certainly opened my eyes to a new awareness of multiculturalism and the many different perspectives that we find when we step outside of our small, narrow communities and our small, narrow lives.
Can you tell us a little bit about your spiritual journey? How did you come to it? Your influences? Maybe the various fields of spiritual work you are or have been involved with over time? So touch on your journey in spirit.
That's been a total trip. I've always had a spiritual bent from the time I was 7 when I attended the small country church where the very charismatic fire and brimstone preacher put the fear of God into me. Or maybe it was the love of God. I'm still not sure which. I was baptized in the Pearl River in a scene that could have come straight out of the movie Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou? And I was the preachiest, prissiest Christian ever for the next couple of years. This was during the time when I thought I was going to grow up to be a missionary. But over time, I began to think that there might be more to having a personal relationship with God than the Southern Baptist religion could teach me. In my early 20s, I had the great good fortune to meet and dance with Sufi master Pir Vilayat Khan. He's passed now, God rest his soul. He was the leader of the Sufi movement known as the Universal Dances for Peace. At the end of that day, I felt compelled to ask for an initiation into Sufism. Part of that ceremony included the dabbing of a drop of oil on the third eye. At the moment that happened, I felt a great expansion in that chakra region. I never again participated in any organized Sufi activities, but I came away from that event with a much deeper understanding of the power of the operations of the heart. 3 years later, I had one of those spontaneous Kundalini awakening experiences that comes on like a thunderbolt and kicks you out of your normal life for a while. But the next real shift in my own evolution would come much later. Friends and I used to go and meditate on a hilltop overlooking Palm Springs. One evening, we returned to my car, and I found a cassette. I found a music cassette that hadn't been there before. It was a tape of Navajo Beauty Way songs translated to English. And that experience put me on a path that we now call the Red Road. My children's story, Writers on the Web, which is linked from my bio on the Harmonic Concordance website, is my gift back to spirit in gratitude for that gift. It's a modern retelling of Spider-Woman, the creation story of the Navajos, which I use to illustrate how deeply, deeply interconnected all things are, both between heaven and earth and humans and spirit. But overlaying that spiritual side is my eternal curiosity. It's not enough to know that all of this works. I probably will spend the rest of my life thinking about how it works. I boil it down to the hard problem, what they call the hard problem of consciousness, which is, how does what's on the inside get out and what's on the outside get in? This is the topic that I muse about, mostly for my own education and enlightenment, in the field surveys that I write for your blog.
And let me give a shout out to those surveys. You can find them on the blog under the theme The Field Surveys. Very, very interesting stuff there. I tell you, Jan is just brilliant.
Oh, bless your heart. Thank you, honey.
So please continue.
I think I can say that the Red Road for me is the one that integrates both sides of my nature. That child of the woods from Mississippi who felt very in tune with the earth, and this adult who understands that communication with nature is a two-way street. It happens best when we find the point of resonant harmony that allows us to vibrate. Right. When we resonate with our surroundings, communication is a two-way street. We learn from nature, our plant allies, the elements, and we put our prayers back into that for the highest good of all. That includes not just human beings, but every creature, sentient or not, that shares this planet with us.
Well, from your perspective, what messages or lessons would you like to leave here? You are a teacher, after all.
I think the one lesson I would like to give everybody is that there are two aspects. They're almost contradictory, but they are the ones that should govern our lives. And the first is the self is not important, and the second is the self is all there is. We walk between our small selves that are so ready to take offense or are so worried about how we look. We can only see a very short distance ahead. But it's a higher self that always has our backs and always puts us where we are supposed to be, exactly where we are supposed to be there.
As we were on time for our meeting in that computer store.
Absolutely.
Works for me, girl.
Works for me, honey.
As we wrap this up, let me ask if there's anything else that you'd like to say to our listeners.
To hold two things in their heart. The first is the small self isn't important, and the second is the large self is never going to let you down. Okay, Our small selves lie to us about what's important. They can only see a very short distance in front of our noses. The small self is going to feel insecure, and angry, and frightened, and worried, and blow it up, so that it's the only thing we can see. We need to back off from that, to chill a bit, to know that there's a larger self that has the big picture, that has our back, that's never going to let us down, that's going to put us exactly where we need to be when we need to be there.
What a great story. What a great trip.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for that trip down memory lane. I appreciate it. As a matter of fact, I've learned a few things about you today that I didn't even know myself. No fair keeping secrets from you, honey. So let me wrap up today by thanking you for being a part of this podcast series.
It's always an honor to be involved in anything you do, honey. Thank you.
And it's my blessing. Thank you. So long, folks. See you next week.
That's all, folks.
Thank you for having tuned in to the Harmonic Concordance blogcast with Johnny Marahiel and special guest. For more information about the blog, please visit www.hcblog.org. We wish you peace and blessings on your journey. Namaste.